Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the Osborne 1827 Pedro Ximenez Sherry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault.
Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Oh, we're getting turnt tonight, folks. Turnt! And why is that? Why are we getting turnt?
Well, tonight is the second episode of your birthday, but what we also, Scott had a bottle of Chianti for us to drink. He broke it. And so that means I had to break out some...
I was attacked by a vicious animal.
Yes, a drunken beau. Bo is drunk, by the way. But it was a Grand Silesian Chianti. So a very, very great Chianti. But
I shed a tear.
He drank a little bit of that, and he stumbled down the stairs a little bit ago.
I saw it.
To make up for that, I pulled out,
something to make us stumble down the stairs.
That's true. A bottle of sherry from Osborne, their 1827 Pedro Ximenez. So this is their dessert. Sherry. Very, very sweet.
I heard Osborne and I thought Australian. Wrong.
No, it is Portuguese. Very, very sweet. Very, very rich. From the Pedro Ximenez grape, folks. It's what you should drink when you need to drink. We had a fine wine for the first episode of the Triple B, and now we're moving on to this. My God, it smells like sin. Sin in a glass, folks. That's what we're doing. We've done some, we've done sherry on the show a few times. We've done from Alvier's,
that dry, that I loved.
Well, no, that was different ones. We've done the El Condado, that was fantastic. I've never seen it again. That was mesmerizing. The other one we did was from Alvier's, I have it in the other room. Tres Años, which got 100 from Robert Parker. This did not get 100 from Robert Parker, but it's also $21.99. Yeah. So it's a value price. It's a $7.50, not like the other wussy $3.75.
How dare they?
And it's a twist top too, which is not too great, but that's okay. So we're going to take a break because then we're going to get back and not really horse around because we want to drink this wine here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Osborne Pedro Ximenez 1827. Now, Wilford had heard off the air. His favorite song is on.
Yes, it's the song by... I'm going to look this up. It's Too Close by Next. It's Baby When We're Grinding. I get so excited. Oh, so what it's talking about is this man is dancing with a woman in a club. I've never been to a club and I've never danced with a woman. But anyway, she's grinding on him, which means she's dancing close. And you know what happens, Scott?
What happens?
He gets an erection.
Oh, no.
That's right.
That's not what this song's about.
No, that's what it's about. Step back, you're getting kind of close, feeling kind of a bump coming through on you. That's right. That's the erection. Now, I wear sweatpants sometimes and no underwear. It's more of a, not a bump, but, you know, a ding kind of thing.
Well, for you, it's a bump.
Well, it's not too impressive, but that's not the point.
Almost a bump.
It's a point, but you get what I'm saying.
Well.
I like this song, though.
Pedro Ximenez.
What?
Pedro.
That's right.
That's not...
What?
That's not a friend of yours.
Pedro?
It's a wine. It's a wine.
I was one time in Portugal, many years ago, before the revolution.
The revolution?
Never. No, I'm thinking of another country. I'm thinking of the United States. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, this wine does have some reviews. It has a 92 from Robert Parker. And the House of Osborne was founded in 1772 by Thomas Osborne. It's been continuously family owned and operated ever since. That's a long lineage. The non-vintage Pedro Amendez 1827 is amber brown in color with sweet candied aromas. Scott has a phone screen. Viscous in texture. It offers sweet fig, apricot, and raisins. So 92 from Robert Parker for a cheap entry-level wine.
Yeah.
91 from The Enthusiast. So thick and rich.
That's right. Yeah.
That it seems to fall apart in the mouth in pieces. All right.
Interesting.
There's rum raisin on the bouquet. And then backing aromas of flavors of prune, orange rind, toffee, peanut, and chocolate. It's rich, sweet, and innocuous from start to finish, but with just enough balance and acidity to keep it upright, sincere, and delicious. Then wines and spirits, who fucking cares? And anyway, they gave it a 90. Fuck them. So.
What should we expect in general in Pedro Jimenez? Toffee
could be one.
Coffee?
You could have espresso, kind of. Yeah, espresso bean.
A little lemon?
Lemon peel, but more orange rind. Okay. I would think you can have a citrus element, but more of an orange rind.
Fig?
Definitely.
Walnut?
Could be. There could be a nutty aspect to it, sure, because of the oxidation to it.
And these, in general, you can put some time on them. 10+ years.
I don't know about this one, but for the most part, like the one I have from Alvear's, 50 years.
Okay.
I mean, they can go forever. And some of those, they get so thick. This is very, very thick. You pour it out of the glass, like glug, 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 glug. It looks like medicine.
Rob was making guttural sounds as he poured these in the glass.
Yeah. It can be a bit medicinal, but in a very nice way, like drinking wonderful cough syrup. So.
Wonderful cough syrup.
In the glass, it's brown. Sometimes Pedro Jimenez has come across a little bit.
Brickish.
Brickish, reddish hue. This is brown.
I was trying to recall, what was the last sweet dessert wine we had? Was it the Takai that we did on the show? Did that air?
No, that didn't air. We just drank that off the air.
We should have aired that one. That was good.
That was good. That was that's more of a white wine based ferment. So that has a little bit different structure. Think of it a little more of a Riesling style dessert wine, but on the nose. Jesus. Molasses. A nutty walnut aroma.
Yeah. You could absolutely
prune.
Briefly.
Raisin.
Thicken this and pour it over dessert. Pick your dessert.
You don't need to even thicken it. There's a doughiness to it on the nose, too.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
well, it's pie crust, but it's not a buttery pie crust. So,
but like pie crust as you're rolling it out,
mm-hmm. Raw dough,
doughiness. Yes. Yeah. And you know what else? There's a little bit of black pepper,
a little bit,
maybe white pepper, but pepper. What a great nose!
I'm going in.
We're gonna put together. Maybe just an episode where we just drink for fun and don't even reveal wine, where we talk about tasting and how to build on your abilities to recognize things in wines and how to go about tasting them, not professionally, but build that skill. Rob thinks I'm crazy, but I believe that drinking sherries and port allow you to build that ability. Because the components are so easy to pick out.
Well, first of all, this almost tastes like a gel. It's that thick.
A gel? Oh.
A gel.
Hmm.
It doesn't taste like liquid. or doesn't come across liquid. It's almost a gel. Unabashedly sweet. Not for everyone. Let's just start off with this. This is not for everyone. It's for me, but it's not for everyone.
It's like it. It's gel is like an understatement.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Like it.
It's pasty.
Pouring it down your tongue and it just stops. It won't continue back any further.
There is so
thick it's like a magnet stopping it.
This is about as high of residual sugar as you're going to find in something that exists on this earth. It's crystalline. Intense. I wouldn't even say raisin, because raisins aren't this sweet.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't say prune, because prune isn't this sweet. I would say candied raisin. I would say candied. It needs drops of water in it to dilute it.
But
it is a dessert in a glass, although I've never had a dessert this sweet before. Or this rich. I mean, it is like the richest piece of cake that has a bag of sugar on it.
You know what it
refined,
is?
Refined, though.
It's smoky.
What's everything?
It's smoky.
This is a drink. It says very sweet on the label.
Thanks for the warning.
One thing we know, they ain't liars.
They didn't kid.
They're not lying.
They weren't kidding. They weren't joking.
You know, I need an insulin shot right now, but that's all right. I'll take it. It's so, yeah, the mouthfeel, man. It doesn't taste like it's something that you're supposed to be drinking. It tastes a little supernatural in many regards. Probably because a lot of, even some of the ones that we've had that are big, the mouthfeel isn't quite like that. They tend to be a little bit more refined. This just needs a cut of water. Let me just, that helps. Just a little bit of water with it, man. You need that just to wash it along. It has a little bit of acidity to clean it up, but it's amazing that you can pour this out of the glass. It's like, I'm surprised I don't have to treat it like ketchup.
Yeah. It's like you left the lid off the paint and it's just got a little too thick.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's a little bit creamy.
Hey, I just expected to start developing a layer of skin on top of it.
It's just a little bit. It's challenging to draw air across it. It has almost like an oily, greasy feel to it. So you're like, you're rubbing your tongue across your the top of your roof of your mouth, and it smears. It almost smears like peanut butter would. It almost has that. It almost takes on that form. You know, you're like,
it's almost making me taste peanut butter because of the thickness.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So.
Little water, though.
The perfect. Smokiness in this is so nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sweet. It's hard to get past that, though. It really, 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 really is.
Mm-hmm.
The smokiness lends it to being like almost like a burnt caramel. You ever try to make caramel and you just went a little too far and got a little burnt taste to it? Doesn't have the burnt taste, but it's got a little smokiness. Definitely caramely.
A little cherry cordial as well.
Yeah.
Because it does have a medicinal quality to it, simply because of how heavy it is. If this were just a touch lighter, it would be infinitely better. But it's good. Probably because this is like taking PX, Pedro Ximénez, to its furthest extreme.
This is the most extreme.
Oh yeah, I've never had one that was like this. You know, because this is as thick of a wine I've ever had. This is the thickest, heaviest, weightiest wine I've ever had.
Yeah,
it's full bodied, but it's Where would you put it on the full bodied scale, Scott? Because it actually is
10.
Yeah, this is 10.
This is 10.
Yeah.
This is 11.
14.
It's just
our amps go up to 11, man.
You know, if you'd, this bottle been broken instead of the El Grigio,
Bo would be dead right now. Bo's actually unconscious.
No, we'd be able to take our hands and pick it up off the floor because it wouldn't spread. It would be
It would just be globbed.
It would just be a glob.
It's in the shape of a bottle.
It would have been the shape of a bottle.
Just, oh my God. It pours out like maple syrup, man.
I've seen maple syrup that pours out faster than that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about expensive stuff, too. It's amazing, though, that you can buy something like this and experience it for 20-some bucks. $21.99. Is there a warning label on this? Yeah, there is. Well, you know. If I'm pregnant, Surgeon General doesn't recommend this.
Well,
if you have a baby that's teething, I think you'd rub it on their gums and it would be fine. It's only 17%, though, which is low for a fortified wine. It's low for Turley.
Yeah. It's just so, so sweet.
You're going to drink it, though, aren't you?
I'm drinking it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we hadn't gone down the journey of port and hit a couple of these PXs before this, I couldn't drink this.
No. You'd think there's something wrong with it.
Well, it would be...
It's
you wouldn't be ready for how sweet it is.
No, you wouldn't be ready. And for the mouthfeel is the most unusual thing. Because
it
even
almost freaks you out.
It freaks me out. But I like it because it freaks me out. Yeah, it's the most intense PX experience I've ever experienced. You're like, aren't you supposed to mix this with something? I mean, like cream. A cream sherry is PX mixed with others. Oloroso, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leads to a wine that has some sweetness, but it's a little bit more lithy and lighter on the palate. I did Alvier's cream not too long ago, and I really enjoyed that. But it has more of an orange, kind of dark tangerine kind of look to it.
This doesn't have that taste, that profile at all.
In front of a fire, Scott?
Hmm.
You know, with your insulin pump at full blast? You know, that kind of thing? You know? Yeah, you're eating licorice by the pound? You know? You have Hershey's syrup, but... That's a drink to you?
You could almost smoke a cigar with this.
I have some cigars.
I mean...
I don't know. It's not... But the flavor profile isn't... I don't know if it's right for cigar, but... I don't know, though.
I mean, I don't...
You don't know about that. You don't eat anything with this because this is it. But like we have this wonderful, amazing fennel-based salami. It tastes awful with this because of the sweetness. I mean, it's like it tastes like a wet dog with this. And I know that independently tastes delicious.
Maybe some salty nuts with this.
What did you say? Your nuts are salty. That's your business. Don't tell people that, Scott. I told people that. And, you know, I was listening to Too Close, and I was listening to it. I had a boombox on my shoulder.
On your shoulder?
Yes. What? I'm behind the times. Don't be a dick. Anyway, so this yellow bus pulls up, and so I'm like, oh.
A yellow bus. That's a school bus.
Well, they stopped, and I said, oh, yeah, I need a ride. Now, these other kids got on in front of me, and I got on, and I had my boombox on my shoulder, and I was playing that and wearing sweatpants, and I was arrested that day.
I can believe it.
I don't know why.
Because you're a decrepit man.
No, I was only 79 years old. That happened 42 years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
What? I don't know. I was just listening to my jams. People, they're prejudiced against me. I don't know why.
Yeah, this would be wonderful on just out of the oven, double fudge chocolate cake that's still warm, and you drizzle some of this into the cake.
No. Just your finest vanilla bean ice cream.
Okay.
Just drizzle it over that.
I'd have to have some crushed, like, salty nuts on there, too, with that ice cream.
You're then once again talking about your nuts, Scott. Nobody wants to know about that.
Crushed salty nuts.
Whatever someone does to you that you enjoy is your business. We don't want to know. I mean, you can tell me off the air.
I'm sure
I'll
you do want to know.
I'll keep it a secret.
I'll bet you will.
I'll put it in my diary. Then they'll put it on the damn website. Commentary. Scott talked about his nuts. And I liked it. Tasting notes. I did that too. Yes.
The last time you wrote something in your diary sheet, it ended up in your probation officer's file.
You're having a hard time talking. Well, are you going to pass out? Apparently yeah. You can't taste the roofies in your drink. I practiced on myself many times. I got the dose just right. It's fantastic. Did you know, Scott, that if you roofie yourself, it's not a crime?
I'll bet it's not a
it's
crime.
It's not.
It's a crying shame is what it is.
Well, some people...
But you woke up.
Some people say it's pathetic, but well, what did you just say? You wished me dead?
It's pathetic that you didn't wake up. That you did wake up.
That's a common sentiment. Everybody says that. Well, my own mother says that. Well, said it. She's dead. I mean, I was born in 1901.
You were born in 1888.
No. That was my brother.
Your brother?
Yes.
Wilhelm Wong?
No.
What was his name?
Harry Wong. Yes.
Jesus.
What?
Jesus.
No, Harry Wong. Yes.
You're Wong, all right.
No.
Very wrong.
No.
Well, for what do you think about the Jimenez?
The Jimenez, well, I think that it's a very weighty, deep, dark, strong wine. And I think that if I put something in that drink, you're not going to taste it. That's for sure. And I think this is so thick that if I even put like a whole capsule of, say, I don't know, I'm just saying, a drug, you wouldn't see it. You couldn't see it, could you? No. Matter of fact, a whole bottle of this. And
you drink a glass of this, you can't see anything.
That's a good point. That's probably not even a crime. Here, have some wine. And they drink it and they pass out. This
Wilfred,
is a great idea.
Wilfred.
Well, you have all the good ideas, Scott.
Wilfred, you're a crime.
No, I've committed crimes. That's different. I'm contesting those.
You are a crime.
I'm appealing all those rulings.
How's that going for you?
And I've lost many times. They say I'm habitual.
You're habitual.
I said, I'm not a bitch. What are you trying to say?
Well,
what did you see in prison? I didn't do nothing. That's right. I'm not a snitch. No, I won't tell nobody nothing.
Snitches get stitches.
That's right.
This is just a bit much with the sweetness for me. It just goes a little too far overboard. And I'm just not able to pick out the things I want to pick out.
What do you want to pick out?
It's just not as... It's a wonderful drink. And it's so sweet. But it... In a weird way, it's not too sweet. But it just lacks some of the...
Finesse.
Complexities, too. You've got... I wouldn't even call it maple syrup. It's just molasses. That smokiness comes like from molasses. The smokiness is the most unique characteristic because it's like literally it's a campfire. It's almost like a scotch smokiness. Not quite. But that's its most endearing characteristic.
Well, I mean, look, this...
What else can you pick out from this?
It's inexpensive, first of all. There's a little bit of... Well, what can I pick out? Let me drink it again. It is, I mean, it's heady and it's slightly... The weight of the wine does hold back a little bit of any expression. I mean, you're not going to pick out much because it really is that intense. You're just trying to find some air on this thing.
Yeah, really.
Because you're just like, whew, that's a lot. It's really a lot to kind of experience.
Maybe a kiss of lemon, but I'm not able to pick out.
You have
much.
First of all, my lips are covered in it. I mean, anytime you lick your lips, you're like, "Oh my gosh, that's delicious." Heavy, heavy molasses.
Yeah.
Heavy. But beyond that, there is apricot marmalade. My lips are so tasty. What is that? Almost like, you know, Scott, a honeycomb. A waxy honeycomb is in there too. Just raw. And that's the thing. This wine, it has raw sweetness to it. It doesn't taste refined at all. It doesn't taste manipulated either. It tastes like, oh, this is something that a caveman made to appease everyone, and they did a good job. But raw honeycomb, raw molasses, raw, and then that little bit of apricot marmalade with caramel or caramel, whichever you prefer. There are notes of slight undertones of mocha, slight pruniness, slight raisin, slight, and then a bit of spiciness as the underlying thing. There is more there than what you'd expect. Really. It's just, you have to take the time to really go through it. But how many people like sit there and analyze a milkshake? You don't. You just drink it. And that's kind of the way this wine comes across. It doesn't really say to you or me, hey, analyze me. It says, hey, you're going to get diabetes. And, and you know what? You're going to find your jokes a lot funnier pretty soon. And you're going to say dumb shit.
That's what it
says. No. But there is another layer. It's just... Yeah, at this price.
I like the honeycomb, the thing you pulled out of there, and it's that earthiness you get in a honeycomb, right? Mm-hmm. It's that earthiness from a honeycomb in there, and it's with the molasses, the apricot.
It's there, you know, but it's the marmalade. It's very sweet. The spiciness, Scott. Aren't you picking up the overall spiciness?
At the end, I'm not getting the spiciness you're getting. I'm looking for it.
It's on the finish.
Yeah.
And it's very, very, a very spicy finish. And that's nice. It's still saddled by the weightiness. The PXs are weighty, though. But the PXs that we are comparing this to, it's not really fair. I don't recall what the El Cantado was, but it was a 375. I think it was about the same price as this, though, for a 375. It's it was more expensive. Everything. This is probably the least expensive PX we've done on the show.
Absolutely. $20, $18.
Guess what? It's PX. It's unmistakably PX.
Yeah.
It's very, very fun. I love it.
It is fun.
But, you know, we got to take into consideration, if this was a half bottle, it would be $12.
Yeah, it just, And maybe the sweetness, just the overwhelming sweetness, has overwhelmed my palate a little bit.
Why wouldn't it? Why? How couldn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not getting the spicy. I want it to be there. It's there. I want to be like, I want to see like pumpkin pie spice.
No. So,
but something along those lines.
This is a little more of a cayenne kick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not getting that. But, you know, some clove or allspice, something like that.
There's clove. There is clove. I will say that. I didn't talk about that, but yeah.
I'm saying what I want. I'm not saying I see it. I do see just a hint of lemon peel, just a hint.
That's a hint. I'm surprised that this is only 17% alcohol, which you say only. Normally, these things are 19 to 20.
Mm-hmm. I think what they failed to fortify in those last 2% they made up for in the sugar content.
Well, you know what I'd like? If you had this at a restaurant on the dessert menu and you charged $9 a glass.
Okay.
If I had this as my dessert, just a regular small glass, I would be perfectly happy. I would have tons of sweet. I would say, no, I don't want any of your Black Forest cake. No, thank you.
Oh, wow. This with Black Forest cake.
Well, yeah, this actually would probably pair well with that. But I'd be like, you know, I'm good. That's the loveliness thing about this. This probably needs to be out there a little bit more. Because there's so many kind of like blah tiny ports. What do we have at? What do we have at Scally's? We have the Ramos.
Oh no, he gave us a grappa. We had a grappa.
No, we didn't have a grappa. We ordered a glass of Tenure Tawny. I think it was the Ramos Pinto, something like that, and it was very underwhelming. But there's a lot of ones that are underwhelming. Like, I like Fonseca a lot, but their Tenure Tawny is underwhelming. It's boring.
Mm.
A lot of Tenure Tawnies, quite frankly, in my opinion, are boring. The only one that I wouldn't say is boring is like, you remember the Cope?
No, I think you ordered a Tawny and then Frank brought us grappa.
That wasn't grappa. He brought us like a Sumbaco or something.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. But that was different. I mean, that was nice, but not grappa. A digestive. He said we needed.
It was a digestive.
Yes. The port was like a Ramos something. A Ramos Pinto or something like that. And it wasn't very good. I'd rather have this. That's the point. And I'd rather have this in a lot of 10 years.
We had a digestive at Watershed. That was freaking fantastic. Mm. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. But this is different. So different. Then again, cream sherries. If you ever see those out, try a cream sherry. Not Harvey's Bristol cream, but I mean All Veers and like
All Veers.
All Veers is only like $16.99 for their cream sherry, and it's a delight.
It's
it's sweet, but not overtly sweet.
I think for our listeners, if you haven't gone down this path yet, I think the way to start is with port. And there's a couple ways to start. The one that kind of sort of did it for me is the Coburn's, actually.
Coburn's is good.
And it's spelled Cockburn's.
Cockburn.
But it's Coburn's.
Burning Cock.
But it's $13, $14 bucks.
The cheap stuff, yeah.
And it has a lot going on in it. You'll be able to pick 9, 10
tawny,
things out of it.
Both are Tawny and Ruby.
They're
that's
both
the thing,
good.
Both about, that's the thing about Coburn's, Scott. And it isn't shared by everybody else. In that cheap range, you have Penfolds, Club Tawny, and you have the Coburn's. Dow's in that price range, not very good.
Right.
I don't think Sandeman's or Fonseca really get down in that price range. Fonseca's vintage character for like $17.99, that's good. We like that. We've had
There's
that.
There's one we need to do on the show. It's Australian. Starts with an F.
Ferraria? Because that's Portuguese.
Mm-mm.
Australian?
I think it's Australian.
I think you're going to find it's Portuguese, but that's okay. It's Ferraria.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
But like Juarez, don't they have like the Kings or whatever? That's bad.
I've not had that.
Dow's, the Dow's stuff that's in that price range, in that low end, is not good. I mean, when I say not good, I mean they're not good at all. So you're really pushing it when you get down cheap, but you're not with Coburn's. You're really not. I've not had their vintage character at 20 with the, what is that, the Finest Select or whatever. Yes. It's probably pretty good, but for vintage character, we like the War Rays quite a bit. Graham Six Grapes is very good too, but it's like 25, 26. And in that range, you're in late bottle vintage territory, baby. You better be drinking that. Taylor Flygates, the Dowels, late bottle vintage is great. We've done that on the show. I've bought it in my private life quite a bit. I have 3 or 4 bottles of that stuff lying around. Osborne, by the way, Osborne makes great tawny port. They do a great job. One though that if you ever see, and it's Mythical. I don't know if you've ever had it, Scott, but it's Mythical. You don't ever find it. Presidential port. It's from Portugal. Rarely is it seen. Folks, it's the best value import that exists. 10, 11 bucks. Their Ruby and their Tawny are exquisite. Exquisite wines. And there's some Australian ones that exist out there. Jonesy is one, but I haven't seen it in years. It was $9.99. It was delicious. It was a Tawny. Chateau Mignola is Australian. I haven't seen it in years. When it was out, it was one of the best things coming or going. But Yolumba, they make it. We did the Antique Tawny on the show. That's great.
Yes.
We love that. But it's 23 for a half bottle, man.
Wow.
It's not cheap.
No. But yeah, that's the way I'd recommend our listeners start. Go with port first before you cross over to sherry. I just think it's safer.
It is safer. There's a little more elements that are closer to red wines. You get into sherry, especially in the PX realm, you're really going out off on a limb. But Scott and I have done things. We've done Tokai. We've done Madeira.
Madeira.
We love Madeira.
Lamont loves Madeira.
Yeah.
Madeira's Fairbanks. Great. Fairbanks is the one I was thinking.
Fairbanks is trash.
We just need to do it.
Why?
Because it's the budget entry price port.
But that's for cooking, man.
Well,
you don't drink that.
Come on.
You go buy it, man.
A 50-ounce bottle.
Fucking off, man. Fairbanks. That's what you're talking about. That's not Australian. It's California, isn't it?
I think it's Australian.
It's not Australian. I think it's Californian.
Then there's Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor. Yeah, we want to do that?
No.
Okay, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
A cheap port challenge. I'm sorry, man. I just can't desecrate port. I could desecrate every other varietal coming and going. I can't desecrate port like that. You know?
You're a baby.
Why don't we have a challenge where everybody takes a shit in a cup and we taste it and see what shit tastes.
Why don't we take
best?
A challenge where I bring a bottle of wine over and bust it open and see how fast Bo can drink it?
Well, that's the same thing. Yeah. And look at him. I've never seen a dog that unconscious ever before. That is a drunken fool. He's drunk.
Yeah, and we did try to
hungover.
Clean it up, but there's a really thin profile carpet in the basement here, and Rob had a vacuum out and was vacuuming up, and the liquid was coming in the vacuum, and then we were done cleaning. I went, where'd all the liquid go? And then there's Bo starts licking the carpet.
Hey, Bo, you want to go to Waffle?
He wouldn't stop. Hey, Bo, you want to go to Waffle House?
Hey, get some sausage gravy. And biscuits?
He's like, just bring me a go.
He's dead.
Like, bring me a carry out.
That poor dog. He doesn't know what that is. Because he's never, although on the show, there's plenty of alcohol to go around. Bo has never partaken. We don't give alcohol to dogs.
No.
We don't do that.
But he behaved like he had before.
He behaved like he'd been dying for it. He would have drank, he would have licked the broken glass.
We moved the table cover the carpet.
Yeah, and he
and
was
then after a while, he must have caught his nose because he was sticking his head under the table to get back at it.
You would have thought there was a pork chop under there. I mean, you know, it's just like I've never seen an animal beeline. He must, well.
I've been around them. They are drunks, and I won't eat. I want the booze.
Off air, Rob was doing Bo's analyzation of the Il Grigio.
Yes, it's a grasse lesion. Have you ever had it? No, you haven't. You dropped on the floor like a dumbass. It's a 13 El Greco. Is that what it is?
El Greco.
El Grigio. You know, Paul,
Saint Felice.
He has the Reserva. Yeah. El Grigio.
It was the Reserva.
No, there was a Grand Selection. He saw it. And so he probably has the Reserva. And you know what? He got like a 95 from like the Decanto or some shit like that.
No. The Enthusiast.
Oh, that's really a bad one, but still, it was brickish. I look at it and I'm like, wow, lovely bouquet. Does that sandalwood I taste in leather? So delicious.
Both.
I love
got
the,
such a great
I love
palate.
The acidity in the Sangiovese. And you know what the best part about this wine, Skull? It's only like 12.5% alcohol, so I don't get too drunk.
It was like 14.5.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Did you pick up any notes of carpet or rubberback carpet?
I picked up some urine from where Sally, I think, peed on the floor and Paul cleaned it.
Sally's the cat.
Yeah, she's a bitch cat. Hate that cat.
Yeah.
Sally's a good girl.
Bo, how many points would you give it?
I will give this at least, I can't count past 13.
Okay, so it's a 13?
I'll give it 12 of my points.
Okay, that's good.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of points.
One time we had a dog that we were training at, was it PetSmart? And there was a trainer there, and she smoked a lot of cigarettes. But she informed us that dogs can't count past the number 13. And I was like...
just a great dog trainer.
I was like, well, dogs can't fucking count to begin with. But, I mean, you know, what are they sticking their paw out? Now past 13. You know what, though? She wasn't wrong. They can't count past 13.
How far could she count?
I don't know. How many cigarettes are in a pack? That's how she can count.
I want to know who the ace trainer was that taught her that, right?
No.
You know, because she'd come up with that on her own. You know?
I mean, you know. And she had her dog there, too. It was just our dog and her dog.
And she was the trainer.
Yeah. Not a lot in the class.
Mm.
We didn't fulfill all the training. That was his upper level.
Really?
Training.
You didn't continue it?
Rex did graduate from junior
training.
Oh, it was Rex. Bo never went to training. Have you met him? But Rex graduated and even wore like a cap and gown for his
You didn't.
He had a... Yeah.
No wonder you're so humiliated.
We didn't have anything else going on. But anyway...
So did you ever get the feeling that maybe her pay was that she was participating in the training as the trainer and she got to train her dog for free because of that?
But she was training.
Okay.
She could do that anywhere, man.
It's PetSmart.
Yeah, but I don't think it was even that expensive. I don't remember what it cost.
We know what the management training is there, right?
Yeah, but Rex could sit and sit down and lay down and shake. He's also a bastard, but he could do those things. But he liked cats.
Well,
Bo doesn't like
spasms.
Cats.
Spasms.
Bo, though, can also sit down. He sat. He never went to training. And he's also better on a leash. I can guarantee you that. And he doesn't even go on a leash. So.
And he doesn't really try to eat people.
No, he doesn't like children, though.
Bo?
No.
Bo likes children. He's around your kids all the time.
Well, our kids, but he hates other kids.
Well,
I don't know why.
He has discerning tastes.
He just doesn't like their voices, and they're loud, and they piss him off. But Bo's drunk. Bo's an alcoholic. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
You know, you break one bottle of wine and suck it down, and you get labeled.
That's right. And we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's Potpourri, Scott, we're going to take a quiz.
Quiz?
City Sipping, a Wine Capitals quiz, Old World Edition from the Wine Spectator.
Oh, City Sipping!
Wine IQ page.
Oh, Jesus.
Question one, Scott. The Burgundian city of Bio sits near some of the world's most celebrated vineyards planted to which of these grape varietals? Is it Sauvignon Blanc and Cab Franc, Pinot Gris and Carignan, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, or Roussillon and Syrah?
Say again, repeat the question one more time, sir.
I'm sorry, I already answered it. I was right, but... The Burgundian city of Bio sits near some of the world's most celebrated vineyards planted to which of these grapes?
It's D, Pinot Noir and whatever.
Well, it was C, but yes, Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
Okay.
That's correct. Next, the hillside town. This hillside town lends its name to age-worthy Tuscan wines made from the Sangiovese grape. Is it Montalcino, Alba, Etna, or Venice?
Spell Montalcino.
Montalcino.
It's either Montalcino or Alba. Go with Montalcino.
Me too. That's correct. That's what I thought too. Good guess, Scott. That's no, not I a knew, guess.
I knew it was one of those two.
Yeah. Number three. Which of these southern French cities hub of a wine region famous for its Cabernet and Merlot-based reds, became home to the wine-focused Cite des Vins Museum in 2016. Is it Bordeaux,
museum.
Arles, Marseille, or Shiraz?
It's Bordeaux.
Right! That's a pretty easy question.
Well, it's Merlot-based.
Yeah. Number four, which fortified wine shares its Spanish name with the Aldazuzian, whatever it is, city of Juarez de la Frontera, which has been dedicated to the local wine trade for centuries? Is it Marsala, Vermouth, Comandaria, or Sherry?
Sherry. What do you have, sir? What's your answer, sir?
No, I'll go with Sherry, too. Comandaria is not that. Have you read Comandaria?
I haven't read
Comandaria. Oh, yes. Sherry is correct.
Is that 4-4-4 or 5-5?
4-4-4.
Well, there we go.
Number five. Mozart would be happy to know that there are still more than 1,400 vineyard acres within the borders of this central European capital planted to grapes like Riesling, Chardonnay, and Grüner Veltliner. I know which one it is, but is it Budapest, Prague, Bern, or Vienna?
Vienna,
yes, correct.
Austria.
Yes.
Grüner Veltliner.
That's what I was going to say. That's what the tip
Grüner
was.
Grüner Veltliner, folks.
Yes.
If you haven't had a Grüner Veltliner yet.
Drink one.
Get one. Drink one. Have it. Delicious.
Lovely one.
One of my favorite varietals.
Number six. If you're dining at a world-class restaurant in the French foodie paradise of Lyon, your sommelier might recommend a Syrah from this nearby appellation just a half an hour drive away. Is it? Côte Rôtie, it actually is. Vouvray, Champagne, or Bordeaux, it's Côte Rôtie.
It's Côte Rôtie.
Yes, in Northern Rhone. That's correct. I like these. They don't make
I wouldn't have known it if I hadn't known those other three weren't the right answer.
Well, Northern Rhone, that is Syrah. There's very other few places that are predominantly Syrah. That would be Côte Rôtie. They could do more than one Northern Rhone appellation, but that'd be kind of a shitty question because not enough to answer that. So far, these questions have been easy enough that it makes us smart, so that's good.
Yeah.
Number seven.
That's easy, isn't it?
I know. Not only is this northern Italian city located near the Vallipocella wine region, but it also hosts major wine trade events like Vintinale and Opera Wine.
Yeah, I don't know about all those.
Hint, it's also the setting for multiple Shakespeare plays. Oh, okay, I know what it is now. Turin, Verona, which is what the answer is.
It's Verona.
Modena or Genoa. It's Verona. Right. I knew that from Shakespeare, not from the other stuff.
Same.
Yes. Number eight. Why did they do that? They shouldn't have done that. It makes it easy.
Well.
For people that have read.
Yeah.
So.
It wasn't read. It was read to you, you know.
I've read Shakespeare. I took a upper level English course in college on the great works of Shakespeare.
You know, you had good friends who would read to you. God bless them.
I don't know. Visitors to a German wine festival in Thiers, or whatever it is, will likely be sampling Rieslings made from the many celebrated vineyards found along this river. Is it the Mosel? Yes. Elbe, Volga, or Dambuy? The Mosel.
Mosel River.
Right.
I might have got a special bottle.
Yes, I
think. From the Mosel region.
You would like that.
I'm looking for that. It's just such a cool gift. It's my birthday, and the Derns picked me out a nice bottle of ageable white wine.
Yeah.
It's just cool.
Do you have any other Rieslings?
Not like that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't have any other Rieslings in the vault at all.
Good. Number 9. This Iberian port city shares its name with some of the world's most prestigious and long-aging fortified wines. Is it Barcelona? No. Lisbon? Porto? Or Madrid, which isn't a port city?
It's Porto.
It's Porto. That's correct! Madeira, or Madrid, which sits in the middle of Spain.
Right in the fucking middle.
It's a little bit difficult. And number 10.
I mean, it could be a port city, literally, if they made port there, but it's not a port city, is it? Being a port where ships come in.
That's true.
Number 10.
This is
Nine for nine.
This we might be 9 for 10. This champagne capital in northeastern France is home to 4 UNESCO, or whatever it is, World Heritage Sites, including a world-famous cathedral. Is it Paris?
No.
Marseille, I'm sorry. Reims?
Okay.
Or Nice?
I think it's Reims.
You think it's Reims? I don't know this one. You're going to go with Reims, huh?
It's either Reims or Nice.
We're going with Reims. Right! Oh!
Boom!
10 for 10.
Boom!
That was all Scott. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, you didn't even put forth an answer.
I didn't know it. Results. Your score is 100. It's
birthday. It's 100.
It's the sherry. It makes us smarter. So, folks.
And truthfully, it wasn't
that bad of a quiz.
It wasn't the most difficult quiz.
No, it wasn't.
It was a fun quiz.
It was a good quiz. One of their better quizzes. Didn't make us look stupid. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
It's a good quiz if it makes us look stupid.
That's true. And be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Thanks for giving me those answers.
You're welcome. Triple B wasn't on to slow us down in her Russian ways. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, it's the Osborne. Pedro Jimenez, 1827. Scott, what is your score for this wine? It's a difficult one to score.
Listen, comrade. I'm here on behalf of the Triple B. I'm her handler. Name is Vladimir. Score for this wine is 87 of my points. Vladimir's is 87. Very sweet. So sweet you cannot pick out individual factors in the wine. I like smokiness. That's all I can pick out. So 87 of my points. And that's not discounted Ukrainian points, but those are full Moscow points.
I'm going to give it 88 of my points, but I don't think I'll buy it again.
Right.
I mean, I just don't see that. It's too much of a... I mean, what would you... we've drank it, but I think this is the last we're probably going to drink of it.
It just... it's too sweet. It's just... And it's not that it's...
Well, PX is sweet. I mean, PX is this sweet. It's just too much.
there's just nothing else there but the sweetness.
Well, it's unbalanced. It's an unbalanced thing. I mean, it's nice and rich, but that's all it's got. And it's a little bit too intense.
I'd rather have the dry sherry that you hated than have this again.
Well, that makes you odd. But
I'll be honest. I just like being able to pick things out of dessert wines, and you couldn't pick anything out of this. I know you listed out a few things, but I got like one more thing that I hadn't identified. I do like the smokiness that this exhibits, which is so unusual, but it just didn't even have anything else. There was no real nuttiness. There was no real citrus. Okay, yeah, maybe there's lemon peel if you want there to be, but...
It's a little bit muddled. It's a little bit too ham-fisted. It's really something that you would expect to cost $13 or $14, not $21.
Yes. Where they got these scores that start with a 9, I don't get it.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, would you even buy it at $13? Probably not. Because how would you drink it? I mean,
you wouldn't. But it is... It is a great dessert wine for that one glass. That one pour. For use in, not per se cooking, but in desserts. It'd be fantastic for that. It really would be, because it does have some nice flavor. It's just not complex.
Mm-hmm.
You said ice cream. I would love this just drizzled over a piece of cake that's either you nuked it or it's just hot out of the oven. You go to a restaurant and you get those double, triple fudge chocolate cakes. Mm-hmm. Drizzle a little of this over it. Oh, my God. Or you take a piece of cake and you pour this on the plate and then you set the cake down on it. Let it suck that up. Ooh. So like a thin slice of cake, but you've got the plate completely covered in the sherry.
Uh-huh.
And again, it gels, so it sits up like an inch.
Yeah.
And then you set the cake down on it, and it sucks that up. I think that would be delicious.
Could be. But nevertheless, I mean, I don't know that we're going to recommend it. We like it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know who out there would drink it. We would drink it because we're absurd. But for the most of you, you would have stopped two sips in and said, and you would have thrown up, where we'll throw up hour from now.
Yeah, I don't know about throwing up, but it's just, it's sweet. It's so sweet, beyond sweet, that it like stops being sweet.
I think, isn't there a line from the movie, it's too sweet for my sweet?
You're too sweet for my sweet.
Isn't that from like Princess Bride or something like that? Too sweet for my sweet.
No.
I think Becky says it sometimes. I don't know
what that is. I don't think that's Princess Bride.
That might be a Russian thing. I don't know what it is.
Oh, Ukrainian. It's Ukrainian. It's part of your Ukrainian training.
Well, yes. You must pretend you are Ukrainian.
But I'm from America and Kentucky.
No. You are infiltrating Ukraine. You must show Ukrainian things.
I don't even know where Ukraine is on the map.
It is west of Russia. No, it is part of Russia.
Ah, yeah. Where is it? Is it near Japan? I've been to Japan. I've never been. I know where China is. Is somewhere around Australia?
No. The Ukraine is part of Mother Russia. It is to our west. Those decadent bastards are being pulled towards democracy. We can't have it. They're threatening us. The violent militaries of Poland and the backbone of the Frenchmen. The backbone of the French military is threatening our independence. They're going to invade Russia, and all of the cold vodka-laced ground that we own that no one wants.
If you look at the history of the 20th century...
Scott, we have natural gas. They want it.
Ukraine has been the pimple on Russia's ass that's bothered them through everything. Ukraine, many of the Russian soldiers from Ukraine crossed over to the German army when they came through and were rolling through.
This is all propaganda. Do you know that the West looks at our barren wasteland of a country and says, I want some of that. They want our oil, and they want our natural gas, and they want to occupy.
They want Chernobyl, right?
Yeah. And all the places that we've blown up nuclear weapons in the northern part, where we tried to launch a nuclear cruise missile, and it failed, and it blew up. They want that. They want the fine, beautiful cities of Murmansk and St. Petersburg, and they have a cathedral.
Kiev.
And the rest of that's in Ukraine, which is Russia. Yes. We invaded Crimea because it's fantastic. Look, yeah, no, it's not. Mm. But we thought it was because it's the best thing we have. It's the closest thing we have to a beach.
Yeah, when they talked about Soviets invading Crimea, all they talked about was these great beaches.
Is there a beach? Oh, no, it's not a great beach. That's okay.
You lay out on the beach and you get cold sores on your ass.
12 degrees in July.
Oh, it's from the oil fields.
Oh, the pollution. It doesn't matter. It's a nude beach.
I don't know. If crude oil's left laying on the ground, is that pollution or is that mining opportunities? I don't know.
The West sees our crude oil spills and says, we want it. We have to invade all of Russia and Siberia and all the barren wasteland. Next, they'll go for the northern territories of Canada because everybody wants the Yukon.
Oh, Canada.
Yes, they're threatened by our obvious superiority in all the ways. Did you see me ride a horseback with my shirt off?
I saw you do that. It's very exciting. I say, is that Vladimir Putin? Or is it Poutine? I can never remember.
He's been calling the Chinese premier, and the guy's like, hey, man, come on, put your shirt on, dude. I'm not going to talk to you until you put your shirt on.
You know what I call him?
Listen, this is China.
Yeah.
We've got some standards. Put your fucking clothes on.
I call him Vladimir Putin because, yeah, he looks sweet and soft to me. Yes. Hey, Vladimir Putin.
Wilfred.
What?
Vlad alone.
I could broach a peace agreement. I could do it.
Could you?
I could. I could negotiate.
Well, you've certainly negotiated your ways out of some legal issues yourself.
No, I paid for that. I gave him a lot of money.
Oh.
That's right. I offered my sexual services. That was constantly turned down.
Yeah. You know? So how'd you get out of it?
How did I get out of what?
Everything.
I'm in prison right now, asshole. I didn't get out of shit.
Damn it.
I review wine from the prison. It's not really wine. It's like hooch and mouthwash.
Do you ever drink beer out of a shoe?
No. But I was boyfriend of a man named Boo. Does that count?
Me and you and a boy named Boo.
He was pretty big. He's 6'4" and weighed 375 pounds. He was like a doorway.
It seemed like a mismatch, Wilfred.
I never tried to fight him.
Yeah, I was like, you don't fight anybody else.
It was unusual when I introduced myself to him. He's like, what? Really? Yeah. I like what you got going on. And he's like, what? This doesn't work this way in prison. I'm like, well, I'm new. They're like, what? Well, I'll have to pay. Do I owe you a pack of cigarettes to anybody? No, I'm free. And they're like, what? Now they trade me back and forth. It's fantastic. I negotiate those prices, too. I'm liberated. That's the difference, Scott.
Yeah, you're liberated.
You're a prude. I'm liberated. So
you're in prison, but you're liberated.
No, sexually liberated. That's the difference.
In prison.
That's right. Chains of love. That's what that is. Chains of love. It's from the Producers. You ever seen that?
Yes.
It's great. I like that song about springtime and that great guy. What's his name?
Hitler.
Hitler, yeah.
Springtime for Hitler.
He's very powerful.
That's freaking hysterical music.
And now it's springtime for Hitler and Germany. Rhineland.
We saw it.
The fine land.
We saw it with Matthew Broderick. He was fantastic. He was.
We're marching to a faster pace. Look out, here comes the master race. Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Winter for Poland and France. Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Come on, Germans, get into your dance. See, that's a song on a Saturday morning that you just want to belt out. The problem is then Henry knew that song. And so
sings it in school.
No, that was a long time ago. So I stopped singing it. Well, but I'm going to start.
People know Matthew Broderick from the movie, right?
And his personality, yes.
But on Broadway, mm-hmm. he's freaking fantastic. He's an amazing performer.
Yeah.
And then we could always eat at the restaurant. And the one time we were seated right beside him and Sarah Jessica.
Oh.
In the downstairs room.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant's okay. But, yeah, disappointing to him and his. I'll be honest, I expected more out of it.
You just poured more of it.
We're getting turned.
That's true, so.
It's folks, my birthday.
I know.
Hey, it's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
In 87 and 88,
It's your birthday in springtime for Hitler.
That's right. So for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu.
Adieu.
And see you next time.
Goodbye.
Here on the Wine Vault. Good night.